our topic for the month has been the weapons of our warfare, and we're still doing that. We have about two more weeks to go, but I wanted to teach on a little bit different subject I really sought the Lord about, and I believe he's given me some inspiration and direction, so we're going to be teaching on that this week, and it's called The Ways of the Master. You know, many times we pray or we ask God for something and we don't see it happen in the way that we think it should happen. Or it even goes the opposite way to the way we think it should happen. And many times it discourages people. They lose faith. But what I want to teach about maybe in the next two weeks is what God revealed in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. For he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, I was saying the other day, speculating, if I was God, how many things would we try and fix and put right or change or bring judgment or whatever we think we are capable of, if I was God. But God already told us that his ways are not like our ways. His ways are superior. And in fact, he says, are as high as the heavens. And so many times we don't understand how he's working. We don't understand why he's doing certain things. And not that we will be able to explain everything in total, because Jesus said the Father is always greater than the Son. But there are some things that I think through the Spirit that he has given us to understand. And we're going to look at that tonight and in the coming lessons. Amen. And one of the things we're going to study is that God's a national purpose, and I put it that way for a reason, can never be defeated. And we're also going to look at our calling and election. We see that mentioned many times, and I'm going to be talking about that. So let's just go right into the study. And I'm going to start in Romans 8:28 with a scripture that you all know and is actually probably a favorite of everybody's, right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we're going to be coming back to that scripture quite a bit tonight, because I want to break it down and point out a few things to you about God's purposes and his will. Verse 29 goes on to say, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called." Here's that word again. Called. "And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Amen. So we're going to be coming back to this chapter of Romans 8, actually Romans 8, 9, 10, and 11 over the course of this study, because Paul is laying out some very deep and profound things here. And Peter, when he's speaking about Paul, I think in 1 Peter 3:15 or 2 Peter, he says some of the things that Paul says are hard to be understood. And certain people rest to their own destruction. In other words, they twist it or don't understand it to their own destruction. But let's start with what we absolutely know, that God has a purpose and a plan. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." I'm kind of glad that there are seasons. I'm glad that when it's really hot for a long time, we know that winter is going to come eventually. And when it's winter, we know that it's not going to last forever. Whatever you're going through, it's a season. That's what the Bible says. And that there is a purpose under heaven. Now, that may seem hard and harsh to us. How can there be a purpose? But remember Romans 8:28. What does it say? And we know. Now, What that is not saying is that everything that happens to us is good. But what it is saying is that God can bring some good thing even out of terrible circumstance. And you may say, well, I don't know how that is. But we're going to look at Scripture tonight and we're going to go into that. But here's the first thing I want to say about God's creation. When he creates, he doesn't create or has not created you. And I'm going to say something very controversial tonight, but bear with me. He never created us for salvation. Because when he created us, man was not lost. Right? Nobody needed salvation. That was not the purpose you were created. It was not for salvation. Because there was no one that was lost. We were created in perfection. He didn't create with the intention, with a plan necessarily, of saving us. Now, I know people will say, well, what about the scripture that says, the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth? And we're going to deal with that scripture a little bit later. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight is that God creates, and I'm going to use this word vocationally. Let me explain what I mean by that. Is found in the scripture, Ephesians 4:1. Paul is saying, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that he walk worthy of the vocation. Anyone know what a vocation is? I put the definition from the dictionary up there. It says, a summons or a strong inclination to a particular state or course of action, especially a divine call to religious life. And in fact, the word comes from the word voice. That's why it's called vocation. It comes from the Latin meaning to summon or to call. In other words, it is a calling. Where you see the word calling in the New Testament, it is really speaking about a vocation. If I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that he walk worthy of the vocation, the purpose, the job, in other words, to which you were called. But a vocation is more than a job. A vocation, because you can change jobs. But a vocation, as written here, is something that is a gifting, a calling for a particular purpose. Romans 11:29. And you'll find this more than 11 times in the New Testament. It says this, for the gifts and the calling, again, that word is vocation, of God are without repentance. What I'm trying to tell you is, God did not create us for salvation. He created us for a calling, for a purpose. Right? He created us for a purpose, and it's his sovereign choice what that purpose is. Now, all of us are not gifted the same. I will never, at least for sure not now, dunk on a 10-foot rim. I was not given that physical gift, right? And similarly, in the body, in the New Testament, Paul talks about the body, that we're not all the same parts, but we are equal in the fact that which part of your body would you like to do without? Tell me, which part you want to get rid of? Well, you'd find that you actually need your stomach. Within about 2 or 3 days, you know what would happen to you? You would die. He says even the comely parts are due honor, right? There is actually no part of you that you may not be happy with it now, but actually it serves a purpose. So in that sense, we're all equal. Even though our vocation and our calling, which is what I'm trying to get across to you, God has created us different, with a different calling. Therefore, he's saying here, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. God creates us vocationally. That is for a purpose. He didn't create us for salvation, not initially, because we were not lost. Man was not in a state of sin when he created it. And you will see in some of the verses I've put here, it speaks about your calling. 1 Corinthians 1:26, for ye see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It's speaking about your purpose, why God created you. 1 Corinthians 7:20 says, let every man abide in the same calling wherewith he was called. If we will find our purpose in God, that's where we will be the happiest. See, a lot of people haven't found their calling. They think their calling is X when really their calling is Y. Philippians 3:14, Paul here again says, I pressed towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, wherefore also we pray always for you, and that our God would count you worthy of this calling. So when God created us, everyone, he created us for a purpose. The purpose can lead to salvation, but salvation or destruction was not in God's plan initially because there was no sin. We were not created to be saved. But if you fulfill your purpose, if you truly fulfill the calling that you have been given, that's why he said, if you fulfill it, you can walk worthy of the vocation, then that will lead to salvation. And so that's where we get this word vocation, and it's related to the Latin word for summons or being called. And we find that so many times in the New Testament. So the first thing I want to let you know that God's purpose in creating you was for a job. When he created Adam and Eve, what did he do with them? And he gave them a job, didn't he? He gave them a job. Now, that wasn't their primary vocation. Their primary vocation we're going to look at, which we've taught about before, they were to be God's glory. That's what we are called to be his image and his glory. Amen. Let's look at that a little bit more. In Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. 1 Corinthians 11:7. Paul brings it really out. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. That's what our purpose was. Not called to be saved. I know we say that. But we were called to be his image and glory. Amen. That's what we are called to be. We were created for a purpose. Now, I want to take a little bit of time and go through some people in the Old Testament that were called and created. Their vocation. And what I'm trying to get across, which I probably won't teach this very well this first time, because I can't get out of my head what I'm trying to say. So just bear with me here. But we see in Genesis 12, when God spoke to Abraham, he called him and said this, right? Well, we'll start with Noah. The first person after Adam that we see that God gave some grace to was Noah. And the Bible says in Genesis 6:9 that he was perfect, but yet he still had a flaw. He failed in his flesh. He got drunk, right? And because of that, there became a curse from him. The second person, of course, was Job, who the Bible says was perfect in his integrity, but he did fail a little bit in his trust. He wanted to question God. And who wouldn't question God? We all do. The question we always ask is, why? Amen. Have you done that this year? And I'm going to try and answer that. Maybe not this Tuesday, but we have all gone there. And so he failed in his trust. Then we have Abraham. He was perfect in faith towards God, but he lied. He lied to his fellow man about his wife. Then we have Isaac, perfect in spirit, a peacemaker, but in the end, his son was able to deceive him. He was deceived by Jacob, wasn't he? And then we have Jacob. He was really slick, but he was also quick to deceive people. So you know what? The Bible says what a man sows. So guess what happened a little bit later on? His children deceived him. Told him that Joseph was dead. Then we have Joseph, perfect in enduring suffering. You don't hear one time Joseph complaining and asking that question, why? Why? But he was not able to come back from the grave. When he was buried, he had to ask his brethren, don't let my body stay in Egypt. He wasn't able to resurrect himself. Then you have Moses, who the Bible says was the meekest man alive, perfect in humility and communion with God, but yet he failed in perfect obedience. Finally, they pushed the button that made him get mad. After 40 years, 40-something years, almost perfectly doing what God wanted, the second time they came and started to tell him, oh, you brought us here to die, and he just got mad. And he failed in perfect obedience. These are all men that God called. And you can see he called them for a purpose. He called them for a specific purpose. Joshua, perfect in faithfulness and following, but one time he trusted his own judgment. God had told him, don't trust any of these tribes. And yet these tribes came and fooled him because he didn't go and ask God about it. Samson, perfect in power and strength. And in fact, God called him and actually created him for the purpose of delivering Israel. But failed in his, what? I put there, keeping his strength secret. We talked about that before. Then you have Samuel, perfect in hearing and listening to God, but failed in leading his own children. His children started to play up and steal from the treasury and mess up, and he was incapable of controlling them. Saul, perfect in kingly attributes, but failed in pride and impatience. Do you see a pattern here? Almost perfect. Almost quite, you know, they all have aspects, faith, strength, cleverness, but there was always some defect. You see, God had called them, created them, in fact. When it comes to some of them, he created them for a purpose. David, perfect in heart relationship with God, but failed in control of his flesh. Solomon, perfect in wisdom from God, but failed in wisdom to God. Right? He failed in wisdom to God. These are all men that were called that failed in the final analysis of being able to fill the role. In Ezekiel 36, it says, I sought for a man to fill the gap, but I found none. So in the end, God had to come himself. Amen. Now, I want to show you, we're going to look at one person's life. Out of all these names, we're going to choose this one person, Samson. Judges 13, 1, because I'm trying to show you something here, and I'm trying to get this point across. I don't know if I'm going to get it across tonight. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Now that seems strange, right? He used their enemies to punish them. Now at the end of the 40 years, there was no one to deliver them. So what did God do? He created Samson. He sovereignly decided, I am going to create a little baby, and I'm going to give that baby some gifts. And there was a certain man of Zorro, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. See, we do not choose which body and which parents and which civilization and which tribe. Have you ever considered, what if I had been born in Iran? Or what if I had been born in Saudi Arabia? What if I had been born in China? We may not understand God's ways in choosing where we were born. But God has a purpose and a plan. And what I'm trying to lead up to, and I hope I'll be able to show you this, is that when God needs something, he creates it. But he doesn't create it for salvation. He's created you for a purpose. You have a job. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't know if you're getting it. You have a job. You were created for a calling. But you still have a choice whether you respond to it. You're not going to be forced. And if you don't respond to it, you know what God will do? That's right. That's right. He chose Saul. He looked every bit the king. His election and choice by God was by God. It wasn't a trap. It wasn't a trick. All he had to do, as is revealed in the New Testament, was make his calling, his vocation, And election, that means choice by God, sure, through faith and obedience. So what I'm trying to say is God still gets his will done. And he will choose somebody. If you do not fulfill your calling and election, he will bypass you. He will choose somebody else. Now you may say, well, is that fair? Yes, it's fair. He is not making you serve him. You have to fulfill your calling and election. He will give you the gifts for the job he has called you for. He will give you every tool that you need. But you have to respond. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. God made a sovereign choice. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware. So here God is making a creating a calling, an election. He's choosing someone. And he's going to give them gifts. But there is a choice and a response that both his mother and then Samson has to make their calling and election sure. Paul says we have to make our calling, which is the gifting, and the election, which is God's choice, sure. I'm going to try and show you. What I'm trying to really show you tonight is how smart God is. That he still will get his will done, whether you participate or not. It's your choice. I want to choose to be in his will. If you do not do it, he will find someone else. Isn't that what Mordecai said to Esther? You are here for such a time as this. But if you will not do what you have been called to do, you were put in this position. God engineered it so that you became queen. For this time and place. But if you will not do what you're called to do, what did he say? God will find another way to save Israel. I really should have titled this, God Will Always Find a Way. I called it The Ways of the Master, because we cannot see how God is working most of the time. And it seems so discouraging, as if his will is not being done. But yet, God's will is being done, even though sometimes he's using us in a way we don't like. Right? But it is always our choice. Many are called, a few are chosen. Because we have to make that calling, the sovereign choice of God in creating us a certain way with certain gifts, so that we fit to the body and make the body whole. So our gifting is not the same. But we are all equal because we are part of the body. God creates you for a vocation, a calling. And if you do not fulfill that calling, he will get somebody else. In Genesis 12:1, it says, and God had said to Abraham. It almost sounds like God had spoken to him before. And he took a while to listen. God had mercy. It says, and God had said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Sometimes God is so merciful. He keeps calling us and telling us, I've got a job for you. I've got a vocation for you. I've got a calling for you. I preached Sunday about the fact that he had called Peter from fishing. What did Peter and the others do as soon as Jesus was gone? They went back to fishing. The thing he had called them from, for the vocation he had chosen them for. Come with me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. The point I'm trying to make tonight is that God has a calling for you. Your calling may not be the same as mine, but if you do not do it, God will find somebody else. Here is what the angel said. Now, beware. I am going to give you a son. I'm going to do a miracle and give you a son. Not only am I going to give you a son, but he's going to have a supernatural gift. But you have to keep that gift by observing these things. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. You see what that says? His job, his whole purpose for God creating him and giving that barren woman a gift was to do what? Deliver Israel. That was his purpose for creation. A Nazarite was a certain vow that they took under the law, which meant that they forsook certain things, which was strong drink and not cutting the hair. And it could be for a week, a month, a year. It could be whatever number of length of days it was. And they, when they did cut the hair, they took it as an offering before God. It was a form of consecration or separation from the common things. So we see that from his childhood, the point was that he was to take this vow. His mother was to keep it until he was old enough to keep it as a Nazirite. He was never to cut his hair. That was the secret. Remember, I preached it Sunday, right? That was the secret. But so God chose and created this man called for the deliverance of Israel. Now, he could either fulfill it, make his calling and election, his choice by God, sure, by just being obedient, or he could not. And he partially fulfilled it, but then he broke the covenant, right? He gave away his secret. But God was so merciful. He let his hair grow again. And he prayed, and God gave him supernatural strength at the end. So in the end, he was able to fulfill his purpose in delivering Israel through his death. Let's look at Abraham, because this is where it gets really interesting, because this also applies not just to people, but to nations. God's calling and purposes were specifically, in the case of Israel, for a purpose. We're going to look at that. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2 gives us the purpose. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. What was God's purpose in creating Israel? Genesis 28:14 gives it. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all nations, all families of the earth. That was God's purpose originally in creating Israel, so that all nations could be blessed, not just Israel. It seems unfair that he would choose some people, but he chose them not to just have one group of people to worship him. That was not really his plan. His long-range plan was that all nations through Israel would be blessed. You understand? Whatever gifting or ever vocation God gives you, it's not just for you. It's for you through you, so that lots of other people can be blessed. So let's look at this a little bit further. So God called Abraham for the purpose of creating this nation that did not exist. But the purpose of doing it was not just to have one group that would worship him or one group that was special to him. That was not the only reason God created Israel. It was so that all nations could be blessed. Let's look at some of the scriptures. Isaiah 61:6. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Israel was originally, God's plan was so that they would be a nation of priests. Ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Isaiah 49:6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. At this time now, God needed a way to reconcile the whole earth. So no nation was worshiping. So he chose one man, and then he tested him to see if he would pass the test, to see if he would teach his children. And he passed the test, and God created this nation called Israel, but not just to have some special tribe. It was so that through them, the whole world could be blessed. The Bible says that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling Israel, Judah. No, it says the world. That was God's ultimate purpose. It wasn't just to have one tribe that worships him. That wasn't God's purpose. He wanted to get back to the garden where there was only him and sons of God. Now, Israel missed their calling. They missed their calling. Matthew 23, 37, when Jesus came up the last time to Jerusalem, he looked at the city and he said, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Luke 19:4. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this day the things which are belong unto thy peace, but now are they hid from thine eyes. So God's plan, God's purpose in giving them all these prophets and all these men that I talked about, all the way from Abraham to Solomon, and giving them the law, and Paul says they are the oracles of God. God gave them all this stuff, all this gift, created them for a purpose. And now it looks like the purpose of God is missed, is going to not happen. It's going to fail. Verse 43, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground. He was prophesying about what was going to happen in about 40 years when the Romans came and completely, they completely destroyed forests so that they could crucify over 1 million people. That's what the Romans did. They crucified hundreds and thousands. They lined the streets of Palestine with crucifixes and lay thee even to the ground and thy children within thee. Now, they had a choice. You understand that on Palm Sunday when he came in, he allowed himself to be presented as what? King. And if Israel at that time had had faith, they would have fulfilled God's purpose all the way back from Abraham. But I'm just showing you how God works. In that even though Israel's failure through faith to acknowledge and to recognize who he was, God's plan for salvation of the earth is still going to happen. Let me show you how God arranged it. So Paul in Romans is asking the question, is God's plan failed then? Because Israel, Jesus came and went. Jesus came, they crucified him, did not recognize who he was. Is God's plan then of using the nation of Israel for salvation failed? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. They were the ones who God created a nation for himself, and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. They were the ones given all of this. They were the ones elect, chosen. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. God chose them through Judah to come to earth. Christ came, who is over all. God blessed forever. Verse 6, he says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. He's trying to explain what has happened. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. He's saying that the revelation is that Israel are the ones who have come to Christ by faith. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac thy seed be called. So the point he's making, which goes all the way back to Genesis, is that we are saved by faith. Israel lacked the faith and missed the Messiah. So we have to make our calling and election sure through faith. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have obtained righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not obtained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. Even though they had been given all these promises, the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to return the kingdom. They'd been given all these promises. When he came, they did not believe. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. What I'm trying to show you is Israel was the one called to be the priests, to be the channel of blessing, not just to themselves, but to be to the whole world. But because they missed it through faith, God still used their choices to fulfill his word, because using Israel's blindness instead of their obedience, his will still got fulfilled. Because of Israel's blindness, the Gentiles came in through another way, right? Instead of Israel fulfilling being the kings and priests, we get to fulfill being the kings and priests. But in whatever way, God's will for the whole world to hear and be able to be reconciled is still fulfilled. That's what I'm going back to, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together. And it says, to them that are the called, the chosen, those who have fulfilled their vocation. Now, when you look at that verse in that way, then it puts a different light on whether all things are going to work to your good. Are you fulfilling? Are you the called? Are you fulfilling your vocation? Because here's what I know. If God calls you to something, he's going to have to make it happen. He made it happen so that Jonah could fulfill the mission, even if it was by a fish. He made the men throw him over and spat him up on the shore. So I see that even in this church, because when we first came here, it looked impossible for certain things to happen, and every obstacle, God took it out the way, letting me know, okay, I can't come up with an excuse. I can't come up with a good excuse to say, well, I tried and this didn't work, because God just took it out the way. So when we fulfill our calling, then all things will work together for the good to them that are. Now, I hope you understand that call doesn't mean hello. He's speaking about you fulfilling the role that he gave you. Finding your gifting. Amen. And if you are in that, then God has got to work it out for you. Amen. Let's go on, because this Bible study is going to be multi Tuesday night. I've only just scratched the surface. What I was trying to bring to you tonight is the fact that God does not create you for salvation. He does not create people for destruction. He creates people for a purpose. And when you find your purpose that is fulfilled in him, then you can be saved. But that is not why he created you, as you can see. He created Samson for deliverance. He put Esther in that position for deliverance. It's always really for deliverance. Now, I want to finish tonight with a story, and then we will continue. And this is about Joseph. As you know, he was the second to the youngest of Jacob's children. And because he was of the wife that he really loved the most, he was his favorite. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. The moral of that story sometimes is you need to keep your vision to yourself unless God has told you to share it. Unless God has told you to share it. Amen. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and all stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around and made obeisance to my sheaf. You know the flesh is never going to be happy with that kind of dream. Flesh is never going to be happy with that kind of dream. Now, here he's being given all these dreams that seem to indicate he's going to be in leadership. But most of his life, things just keep going worse and worse and worse. You see, what I'm talking about is that the way of the master, as I quoted in the beginning, is not our way. It seemed as if God's plan for Joseph is going horribly wrong right from the beginning. And his brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 20, come now therefore and let us slay him. When his father sent him with provision to replenish their food, they saw him coming and they hatched a plot to kill him. Come now therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. But you know, God always has a way. His plan can never be defeated. The point I'm making about Romans 8:28, which we miss, is it the point about being the called. You can love God, but if you are not also the called, that's part of the deal. God had called Joseph. And because he had called Joseph, it was going to have to be fulfilled. Come now, therefore, let us slay him, and let's say some evil beast got him. Come and let us sell. So they were going to kill him, but then Reuben said, no, let's not kill him. Let's just let him die in this pit. Then we won't actually say we had to touch him. Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. But then they saw some Ishmaelites. Even better still, let's put him into Egypt, and then we really won't have to say we had anything to do with this. And let not our hand be upon him, for he's our brother and our flesh. That's really hypocritical. We're selling him into slavery, but he is our brother and our flesh. See, at this point, Joseph must have been very perplexed. God, this is not what you showed me. This is not what I was called for. I don't understand what's going on. And then he asked the question, why? Then there passed by Midianites, merchantsmen. They drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh's, and the captain of the guard. Now, I want you to notice something, though. God did not suddenly rescue Joseph. But you can tell God was there because it goes on to say he blessed everything that Joseph had anything to do with. He didn't take him out of slavery. But all of a sudden, Potiphar noticed that things started to go good in his household. Everything started to go good. But of course, Satan always also wants to stop the plan of God. So you know the story. His wife accused him, and now, instead of just being a slave and being the head of his household, he goes into prison. Many times God's plan for our lives we do not understand. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. This is now a matter of years. This is a matter of years from the time he had the dream. He's probably now in his early 30s. He's been in Egypt for probably 17, 18, 19 years, first as a slave, and now he's in prison. Because God's plan, we don't understand. We don't understand and we don't see it. Now, this is where it takes faith and understanding and holding to your calling and election. Nowhere does it ever say that Joseph gave up on the dream. Nowhere does it say that you hear him saying, why did this happen to me? I can imagine as human, he must have in his head thought about it. Lord, when will your plan be fulfilled for my life? When will the vision that I saw come to fruition? And this is modeled in Jesus Christ. In fact, it says he was wounded in the house of his brethren. Ephesians 4:9 says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill or fill all things. When we look at the life of Christ, it's the same way. It may not make no sense to us that he had to be crucified. We may not understand it. But then, you know, the next thing he did when he was in prison, what did Joseph do, so to speak? He spoke to some prisoners. You could almost say he preached to the captives. Right? Genesis 40:12, and Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand. See, God had a plan for Joseph's life to model what he was going to do with Jesus. Joseph could not understand that. God may have a plan for your life that someone is watching you and you don't even know it. They're watching how you deal with crisis. They're watching how you deal with life. Because when in prison, Joseph preached to some captives. 1 Peter 3:19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And it's interesting that in the prophecy it said 3 days. Because Jesus was in the prison 3 days. You see, the plan that we cannot see, because my ways are not your ways. But God was always with him, because no matter where he went, he was elevated. He was elevated. When he got into the prison, they elevated him to be the chief prisoner, so to speak. But yet God did not take him out the prison. It's the same thing with Paul. He was told, you're going to go to Rome, and you're going to go to Rome like this. Now, why he had to go like that, we may never know. But God has a plan and a purpose. We may not understand it, but all we have to do is fulfill the calling. Because the promise in Romans 8:28 is, love God and the called. According to not my purpose. Why isn't things working out for me? Well, it's because I'm doing it to my purpose. People forget that there are some conditions to Romans 8:28. There are some conditions. It's not just loving God, but it's being called. That means fulfilling your creation purpose. And also, it's got to be according to his purpose. So, God finally's plan is coming to fruition. Because Joseph went through all of this so that later he could save his family. Later he could save the whole world from famine. God will put you through some things that you have some wisdom and some understanding that later you can be used to save someone. Genesis 41:14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. It's really like a resurrection. And he was raised from a prisoner one day to being the second most powerful person in Egypt the next day. When God moves, when his fulfillment comes to fruition, it's as fast as lightning. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Right now, we're nobodies. But when that time comes, the Bible says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Amen. You see, we can't see his plan. We can't understand it when we're going through it. Because his ways are not our ways. And we can't see the end, but he sees the end and the beginning. He calls those things that are not as though they be. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. You understand that when you are faithful to God, when you are the called according to his purpose, when you fulfill your role, God's plan will be fulfilled. It will not be changed. It will not be diverted. Satan cannot stop it. Even Gamaliel knew that. He said, you better not mess with these men, because if it is of God, you can't stop it. And on top of that, if you mess with them, you'll be fighting God. So we do not have to fear the will of God if we fulfill our calling, if we make our calling and election sure. Amen. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. His dream he had 20 years ago of these people bowing down to him now is being literally fulfilled. Bow the knee, and he made him ruler over the land of Egypt. Philippians 2:10 says this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith that all the angels of God worship him. You understand that Joseph couldn't see how he was helping God's plan, but he was one of these names that was a model that God had chosen to foreshadow what his son was going to do. Hath thou considered my servant Job? How he escheweth evil. He's always worshiping me. He's praying for his children. And Satan says, well, that's because you bless him. That's because you bless him. You see, we may not understand what we're going through right now, but here is the takeaway. Here is the key. If you could stand with me. Now, he is made king or second in charge. And to show you how God completes the model, he gives him a Gentile bride. Right? He gives him a Gentile bride. Jesus is taking his church, which is the Gentile bride. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, which is the daughter of Potiphar, the priest at Lod. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me. And when Jesus resurrected, just as how Joseph was taken out of prison, you see that God was setting up a parallel. He was using Joseph's life for his glory. God will want us to willingly be willing to give our lives for his glory. Now that's a hard thing. Some of us will go through harder things than some of the others, right? Some of your crosses may be golden. Mine may be an old wooden beat up one. But he's not going to ask more of you than you can do. And he promised to, in every way of temptation, to make a way of escape. All we have to do is not be like Israel and fail the test, because he will find someone else. He will find someone else. Don't let someone take your crown. Isn't that what Paul says? He says, don't let someone take your crown. We have been called and chosen. We have to make that calling and God's choosing. Sure, I'm going to skip and go right to the end. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. See, what I'm trying to tell you is God does not predetermine who's going to hell or who's going to heaven. He gives everyone some gifts. And if you will fulfill your calling, salvation will be the end result. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. 2 Peter 1:10, and this is where I'm going to end. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling, your vocation, your election. That is God's choice of you, sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Never fall. To me, that's such an encouraging scripture. God is saying, listen, if you will just do what you have been created to do, you will never fall. You will never fall. And then the scripture in Romans 8:28 will apply to you, right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Because if it's his purpose, it's not going to fail. I told you there was a missionary told me he was in a very dangerous country. But he said this thing, and I've never forgotten it. He said, you can't die if you have a mission. Right? If you are Paul, they shipwrecked him, they beat him, they stoned him, they beat him up, they whipped him. He could not die until he had fulfilled his mission. God had created him, chosen him for this purpose, that you must witness before emperors and kings. So tonight, what I want to say to you is fulfill your calling. You don't know what your calling is? Ask God. He will show you. Moses did. Moses said, I can't do this. I don't have anything. I don't have an army. So what do you have in your hand? Whatever you have to hand, God can use it. Samson didn't have no knife, no armor, no nothing. He picked up a jawbone of an ass. He picked up an old donkey skull. And with that, he killed 1,000 men. See what God can do? Little is much when God is in it. When we are fulfilling our calling, little is much. We may not understand the path we're on, but God is getting glory somehow in our suffering. He didn't create it. He didn't cause it. He would have much rather that Israel accept him the first time. But because of their disobedience, God's plan of salvation for the Gentiles is still happening. It could have happened when he came the first time if they'd just been obedient. It'd been so much simpler and clearer. But it's still going to happen and gives us now the chance to rule and reign. We are going to be the priests. The church now is Israel, who are going to reign and rule. Now, that doesn't mean God is finished with Israel. There will be a remnant because of his unconditional promise. But we now have the opportunity to fulfill our creation, our calling. Hallelujah. And my wife says, I always make you stand so long, so I'm going to stop here. Amen. God bless you. We're going to close in prayer. But I want you to take away this thought that we are the called and we are the elect. God has a plan for your life. And when you fulfill that purpose to the fullest, then there is nothing, no force, no nothing Satan can ever do that is going to stop God's plan to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Nothing can stop God's plan for being fulfilled. When Israel turned their blindness, he used that to still bring in the Gentiles. So God's plan will still be fulfilled. But we don't know if we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you right now for your goodness and your grace and your love and your mercy. Lord, as we go, Lord God, help us to find our purpose, our calling. Lord God, that our lives can be fulfilled fully in your will and your grace, Lord God, will be poured out without measure. We just thank you for your goodness, Lord. Go with us, let your spirit surround us. Help us this week to walk worthy of that calling. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.